Stickers, Mike Malloy here. Well, the son of a bitch did it, didn't he? Ah, how about that? Scott Walker, who has spent the past couple of months bleating and whining and carrying on about how it's all about the budget. It's all about the budget. That's why they had to strip collective bargaining rights from public workers. They removed the part about the budget so that these filthy goddamn Republicans could go ahead and vote on ending collective bargaining rights. And they did it. It's all about the budget. Remember? We're going to take your calls early tonight. The number is 877-996-2556 if you want to weigh in. The Wisconsin Senate voted earlier tonight to strip nearly all collective bargaining rights from public workers because they discovered a way to bypass the chamber's missing Democrats. All 14 Senate Democrats were not there, which prevented these pigs from having enough members present to consider Scott Walker's so-called budget repair bill? Do you still believe that? It was a proposal introduced to, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, plug $137 million budget shortfall that was created by Walker to begin with payoffs and tax breaks to his friends. The Senate, you see, requires a quorum to take up any measure that involves spending money. But Republicans tonight split from the legislation the proposal to curtail union rights, which spends no money. God damn, that's slick. Woo! Now, let me calm down a little bit here and tell you what this is. Well, you figured out already. The subterfuge has been stripped away. The curtain is down. What Scott Walker and these Republicans have done is reverse 50 years of progressive labor rights in Wisconsin in 20 goddamn minutes. That's all it took them. They cheat. They lie. Now, I understand. Well, let me see here. This is from Philippa in Madison. People are mad as hell here in Wisconsin, getting madder as they're ignored. They're flocking to the Capitol Square by the hundreds tonight just after getting off work and hearing the news. And again, they are locked out of the Capitol building illegally. Tonight, the senators voted to strip collective bargaining rights from public employees in emergency session. How did they do this without the Democrats present? They took all the fiscal language out of the so-called budget repair bill and created a new measure solely for the union-busting purpose. This had absolutely nothing to do with balancing the budget, as Walker still says it does. What are you people in Wisconsin going to do? What are you going to do? Tell me. Talk to me. What are you going to do? Do you realize what these 18 people did to you tonight? 18 fascist little bastards. Do you realize what they did? What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Philippa writes, according to multiple independent polls, most Wisconsinites, regardless of party, do not support the stripping of collective bargaining from workers. Well, you know, I can sit here and scream until I lose my voice. I just wonder what people who live in Wisconsin are going to do. The lone Democrat present at this filthy act of cowardice, Representative Tony Barca, shouted that the surprise meeting was a violation of the state's open meetings law, but Republicans ignored him. These are goddamn fascists! Do you not understand that? These are not Republicans! You think Wisconsin is the end of it? When? You know, I'll ask it again. I'll ask it again until my goddamn face falls off. What is it going to take? What's it going to take before people in this country say, that's it? Is this enough? You think this is it? What do you think? Representative Tony Barca shouted that the meeting was in violation of the law. But the Republicans, the fascists, the cockroaches convened and did it anyway. Spectators in the gallery screamed, "You are cowards!" Now, will this put these Republicans in political peril? Will this inflame the public in Wisconsin? What's going to happen, huh? What do you think is going to happen? The Republicans are saying across this country, they're sticking their middle finger up, and they're saying to the working class, union members, they're saying to public workers, they're saying to the common people, they're saying to the unemployed, go F yourself! We're in control! We know who our masters are! So what are we going to do? Do you think this is enough? Do you think this will do it? What more is it going to take? What do you need to see, folks? Do you need to see the troops rumbling down the streets in the armored personnel carriers telling you to move your ass on because three of you are standing on the same street corner? What is it going to take tonight, huh? What's it going to take? And you folks in Wisconsin, I know what I would be doing tonight if this were in Georgia. I swear to anything that anybody holds holy or sacred, I know what I would be doing tonight if this happened in my state. But you see, I live in a state that already has no protection for union anything. It's a so-called right to work without collective bargaining or any kind of rights state. That's where I live. But Wisconsin? Who's next? Ohio? Who's next? Indiana? Who's next? Pennsylvania? New Jersey? Who's next? West Virginia? Sneaky, slimy Republicans. Okay, we'll take some of your phone calls. Neil is in Madison. Neil, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
I am very, words cannot describe my feeling. They've totally destroyed our entire state in less than 2 months. And the next time that some one of those Republicans need a ride to the hospital, I hope they don't call one of the government workers that's going to have to take them there.
Yeah, what about that? Or, this is astonishing. This is the Republicans saying, we don't even care about the people of the state anymore. We don't even care about workers' rights. We don't care about the union movement that people in this country died and bled and organized for. We don't care. We don't need to because we're backed by the Koch brothers. We're backed by the wealthy. We know who really paid our way here, and those are the people we're going to, satisfy. And I don't know, Neil, you're in Madison. What's going to happen? What's going to happen tonight, tomorrow? What's going to happen?
I grew up here during the 60s, so I remember what it was like on campus and the protests and such. And this could be the fuse that lights the powder keg. I don't want to see that, but I think this could be the fuse.
All right.
And yesterday, Scott Fitzgerald went on Fox News and specifically said, it's not about the union busting, it's about defeating Obama in 12.
Yeah.
I mean, he finally came right out and said what the real reason behind all this is.
Well, I don't know what to say. I mean, I'm 800 miles away in Atlanta, so I can't sit here and bitch and complain about residents of the state of Wisconsin or even suggest what to do. But, oh, my God. All right, Neil, I got to leave it there. Thanks, pal. Thanks for checking in. We'll be right back.
We fight for, but we fight for roses too. As we come marching, marching, we're standing proud and tall. The right of the women is the right of us all. No more the drudge and idler, can the toil where one reposes. But a
for your humble and obedient servant, Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. You know, mark the day here, March 9th, 2011, the day when these filthy cockroach Republicans, after all the lies and deception by this this governor in Wisconsin, they finally stripped away their lies and came up with the truth. The only way that this bill was able to pass without a quorum was to take out the very part that this lying son of a bitch, this Walker character in Wisconsin, claimed was his real reason for doing this, you know, to balance the state budget, to fill the $137 million shortfall that he created. So they stripped that part out and passed the part that destroys public unions. Now, write the date down, because in the probably, hopefully not too distant future, this date will be the day when the resistance in this country really dug in its claws. This will be the day, March 9th, 2011. Write it down. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Billy Mabry. No message, just Billy sponsors the hour. Thank you. Email here from Ed in Beloit, Wisconsin, who writes, Mike, we've talked before. I'm the one with health issues, and you've been supportive. The next axe is my medical. So, Mike, plain and simple, the Republicans are about to murder me. Ed in Beloit, Wisconsin. I don't know. Ken, the other Dr. Ken, writes, I have no idea whether this would be enough, Mike. I thought we passed a threshold of intolerability a long time ago, and then the citizens of this state voted these stinking Republicans into office last November. Recall efforts are underway for the Republican senators that are vulnerable to it, and I hope there's enough commitment and courage to follow through on them. I've been involved in signature-gathering campaigns and would get into these, but immediate recall doesn't apply to my district. The Republican, my district's fellow citizens were ignorant enough to elect, cannot be subject to recall until he's been in office a year from last November. Well, that's an interesting rule. I'm completely disgusted. The senator we lost in the district is a personal friend and one of the finest people and most compassionate, fair legislators you could ever hope to know. Perhaps the cup the Wisconsin voters now sip from is bitter enough to cause them to react. I hope so. I often wish I could have left this country in 68 when I intended to. It hasn't gotten any better. Dr. Ken. Astonishing. I don't know. Joshua's in Chicago. Hey, Joshua. Joshua? All right, let me put Joshua back on hold. Sean?
Mike.
Hey.
Mike, you know what the Republicans remind me of right now?
What?
They remind me of the Linda Blair character near the end of the movie The Exorcist.
Oh, yeah?
The demon is sitting there giggling over the body of the dead priest played by Max von Sydow.
Oh, yeah.
These giggling murderers. That's what they remind me of right now. You know, Mike, I know you're from the Midwest. You're from Ohio. I'm from Illinois. If I know my Midwestern brothers and sisters at all, I think Seattle 1999 is going to look like a walk in the park compared to what Madison 2011 is about to look like over the next 2 or 3 days. If I know the Midwest at all, these are modest, decent, hardworking, conscientious people, and you step on their faces long enough, and it's going to blow up in your face.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I hope. You know, I've been asking for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. What is it going to take until the people in this country? I've come up with my little 25-cent ideas of passive resistance. Everybody stop for a day. Nobody buy anything for a day. Everybody just sit their asses down for a day.
Amen.
And it goes nowhere. All right. This is.
Hey, one other thing, Mike. Mike, I just saw this movie Waiting for Superman. Not only is it Scott Walker, but Obama is in cahoots with Bill Gates. He wants to destroy the teachers' unions. He wants to scapegoat the unions. The Obama footprints are all over this thing with Michelle Rhee and Jeffrey Canada and Jonathan Alter. Both of these capitalist parties are behind this thing.
That's the truth. Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you checking in. I just wonder if this will be the action by 17 of these Republicans, 17 people in a state of how many million? What's the population of Wisconsin? 17 people utterly and absolutely tonight destroyed with their cowardly act. Public unions, the right to collectively bargain, the right of workers to take care of each other. Republicans don't believe in that. Republicans are scum. They are cockroaches. What are you going to do, folks in Wisconsin? You show us. We'll follow.
Well, I'm bound to follow my conscience, and I'll do whatever I can. And it'll take much more than a union law to knock the fight out of a working man. And which side are you on, boys? Which side are you on? Which side are you on, boys?
The Truth Speaker, Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Billy Mabry. Thanks, Billy. A couple of emails here, and then back to your calls. The number here is 877-996-2556. We're talking about the ascension of fascism in Wisconsin tonight, and that's exactly what it is. Sue in Ohio writes, on May 2nd, 1933, Führer Adolf Hitler bans labor unions in Germany. March 9th, 2011, Führer Scott Walker bans labor union rights in Wisconsin. Someone want to tell me again that comparing Republicans to the Nazis is wrong? Signed, Pissed Off Sue in Ohio, where Führer Kasich is just itching to ban labor union rights also. From Bill, listener number 25. I'm going to state what Pastor Niemöller said with a few additions. They came for the communists and I didn't speak up because I was not a communist. They came for the trade unionists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a trade unionist. They came for the Jews and I didn't speak up because I wasn't Jewish. They came for the handicapped and I didn't speak up because I wasn't handicapped. They came for the atheists and I didn't speak up because I wasn't atheist. They finally came for me and there was no one left to speak for me. Signed, referenced Pastor Niemöller and Bill in his last name, listener number 25. And from G. R. Hopi in Arizona. Wisconsin. You know, in the 70s, I was a rock guitar player traveling with a band out of Minneapolis. We played a lot in Wisconsin. We all had to have musicians' union cards to get hired in any club. It was airtight, no amateurs. You had an agent, and you had your act together, and you were union. A four-piece rock band could make $2,000 in a week back then. That was what a club had to pay for a really good rock band, and nothing broke into that. In the 70s, $500 a week was great money, and being a rock guitar player was an amazing experience. After all this time, like 35 years, know where we're at? If I had to dust off my big Marshall amp, string up my Strats, and try to play music to pay my rent, I'd be on the streets, living in a box. See, the musicians' union has been all but destroyed by so-called right-to-work states all over America. The result? Every bar now has open mic night. Four nights a week. Free entertainment from a bunch of fools who will play in public for beer. That's where we are. The bands all suck. They look like blank. They're unprofessional and horrible at everything, but they're free. Glad I'm not a professional musician anymore. And Revolt, please, please. The 60s and 70s were the last uprising of this country's people, and the fascists took notes. You can't see the bread lines, nobody gets drafted, and TV chants the party line obediently. Give it up, man, it's lost. Sieg Heil, bro. G.R., Hopi in Arizona. Yeah, you watch television. No. Don't do it. I'm just saying. You watch television. Hey, in Wisconsin tonight, the Senate voted to deny public workers collective bargaining. The latest on, what's his name? Charlie Sheen. The latest on Charlie Sheen up next. Sons of bitches. And then this one, then back to your girl. This is from Patricia. Hi, Mike. Wall Street and the sleazy Republicans had this plan from the beginning. First, they lined the pockets of politicians and then asked them to deregulate the entire financial industry. Then when everything collapsed in 2008, we couldn't prosecute them because what they did was not considered illegal. They got Paulson to instill fear in Americans if they did not bail out the banks. And now that we're broke, instead of getting Wall Street banksters to pay for the mess, they go after the unions. Too bad that the average Joe the plumber still doesn't get it. I call this the crime of the century, and nothing will change until our country crumbles. Patricia. Patricia, you and G.R. may be right. Kurt, our old Boston bureau chief from 1,000 years ago, is calling in. Hey, Kurt.
Big Mike. I listen every night. I haven't gone away, and neither have you.
No, I can't. I've got to work.
Hey, my brother is an English teacher in Madison, and we've been talking about three or four times every day, and I just got off the phone with him not too long ago, and he is about as mild-mannered a guy as you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. Put himself through school at Brown and decided to be a teacher to help kids out. And he had his first words out of his mouth was, "Where is my president?"
Yeah, where is he?
Where is my president? I mean, he said, we've been holding the line for 3 weeks, and he couldn't come out and speak for an hour. And now this. And
you know, he was able to go to Egypt and talk to Muslim folk about the dignity of their religion and the dignity of their seeking human rights and political freedom. But you're right. By God, he just can't do it, can he? He just can't bring himself to go to Madison and speak to 10,000 people, 20,000 people. I wonder how many people are going to show up at that filthy Capitol building tomorrow.
Well, my brother says that, and he's Mr. Mild-Mannered, soft-spoken, but he said that, you know, here's what he told me. Thousands of voices got silenced tonight, but tomorrow, all bets are off. He seems to think that they could have a nation, a statewide sick-out, maybe, including police and firemen, possibly. But you know, just pass the word along. I don't think that's good enough, Mike. Every single teacher's got us. This week, this Friday, nobody go to work. Shut this country down.
I'd love to see it, because the next step after peaceful, ignored peaceful protest, I think we all know what comes next from history, our own, and observing other countries. When the voice of the people is totally ignored, then it escalates. 10,000 people in Wisconsin is not going to be the exclamation point necessary to tell the sons of bitches in this country that the jig is up, that it's time to start treating working people with dignity. 10 million people in the streets of this country will make the point.
Mike, I used to believe that till 15 million of us, and you and me were one of them in Atlanta. 15 million people in this country marched against Iraq.
Well, this time, I hope, this time it's different. We were propaganda, not a lot of people, but a lot of Americans were propagandized into believing that the vicious assault on Iraq, was somehow necessary. There is no way to convince people that stripping the financial part out of the bill that this fascist Walker kept saying was the reason for the bill, and then voting to, the 17 people voting to end collective bargaining. Who can be fooled by what that was about? There's no room for fooling at all.
Well, absolutely. Well, Mike, for old time's sake, man, how long has it been since you've done, what, the 14 signs of fascism, or what was it that used to do so good?
It's on the internet someplace. It's an audio recording that I did, the 14 signs of fascism. And one of our listeners who used to have a site where he had all kinds of incredibly good videos, and he put that to animation, and it was one of the most moving pieces I've ever seen. Not because I was reading it; they weren't my words. I was just reading it. But the video, the visuals that went with it were just astonishing. But I don't know where to find it now. I guess a deep Google search, 14 signs of fascism, might turn it up. I don't know. I hope I may look for it tonight.
Well, brother, you're doing, if he doesn't exist, but you're doing somebody's work, and you're helping us all out.
Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate it. Don't be a stranger. Come on, man.
Yes, sir. Take care.
All right. You too, Kurt. Appreciate it. What, who was that guy, Kathy? He had Bush Flash. Remember that? Bush Flash animation. And then he stopped a couple of years ago, but the animation or the visuals that he put with my reading of the 14 signs of fascism, which were not my words. I mean, I was just reading it, but it was just pretty stunning. Where are we? Joshua's in Chicago. Hey, Josh. Hello, Joshua. All right, let me put Joshua on hold. We'll try him again in a minute. Ed in Madison. Hello, Ed.
Hey, Mike. Hi. That's the first time I ever called any show ever.
Ed, guess what? Will you hold on? Just let me do these commercials. We'll come right back.
Hey, gotta do it.
Okay, hold on. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Way over in that Union burying ground. Well, I'm gonna sleep in a Union coffin. I'm gonna sleep in a Union coffin, way over in that Union burying ground. Every new grave brings a thousand new ones. Every new grave brings a thousand members.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. The Sounds Hour has been sponsored by Billy Mabry. Thanks, Billy. We appreciate it. From Barbara in Ohio. Hello, Mike. I miss getting to hear you for several hours every night. I podcast your shows, but it's not the same. I catch the hour I can, but tonight we'll cut it short because of a date at a beautiful house, my house, the Wisconsin Capitol. I can't phone you because I have no voice left, but I have a cowbell, and I have a train whistle, and I have a fist to raise. The heart of Madison, of Wisconsin, its workers and supporters who stand in solidarity. The heart beats strong and resolved to stop these oh-so-clever criminals. Well, guess what? The prisons are full of all sorts of slime eels. They fall in the end. I believe there's been a call for a general strike tomorrow. I've looked all over your site for your 20 ways to act out in passive resistance. Can you list or link? I don't know. Is it still there, Kathy? I'm not sure. We'll try to find it. This is Barbara, who now lives in Madison, but a fellow native of Ohio. A general strike. There should be some kind of action taken tomorrow. I understand that the people in Wisconsin are probably tired from weeks of the struggle and being totally ignored. And I agree with the idea of, well, our Boston bureau chief, where's the president? Where's the leader of the free goddamn world? Give me a break. Mr. Obama, you have turned out to be the biggest political disappointment of my entire life. I am not a spring chicken. You really have, Mr. Obama. You've turned out to be a complete disappointment. What are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Are you going to fall back on the idea, well, it's the state of Wisconsin. The federal government has nothing to say about what the state legislators in Wisconsin say. Is that what you're going to say? Is that what you said when you were in Cairo, when you gave your speech to the entire Muslim world, to the Arab world, about oppression and about freedom and about justice? You can do it there, Mr. Obama, but you can't do it in Wisconsin, a state that went for you the last election, and now you won't show up the last presidential election. You won't go there and take a stand. Is that the story? Is that the bottom line, Mr. President? Is that where you are? What are you doing tonight? It's 9:53 here in the East, where you are. What are you doing tonight? Are you on the phone to anybody in Wisconsin, Mr. Obama? You're Mr. President. Who are you talking to? What's your strategy for tomorrow? What are you going to say? All kinds of problems in the world, Mr. Obama, right? What about right here? What about what happened in Wisconsin tonight? Come on, you're a smart man, Mr. Obama. Mr. President, you know stuff that the average American doesn't have a clue about. You're an expert in constitutional law. You have a wonderfully strong working knowledge of history. What are you going to do, Mr. Obama? God damn it, can you hear me? What are you going to do? Hello? Mr. Obama? Mr. President? And what are you going to do on March 19th when people show up outside your official residence demanding that you stop the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq? I'm sorry, Ed. I got carried away. Jesus, I'll hold you over the top of the hour.
It was a righteous rant. I like that.
Okay.
I am standing outside the door of the East Wash entrance of my house here in Madison. And we got citizens holding the door open so people can go in. There is a continuous circle of cars around the Capitol Square honking their horns. And it is righteous. And my family has been in this state on the European side for at least eight generations, and God only knows how many generations Indians before that. And it's killing me inside. That's all I got to say.
What do you think is going to happen overnight and tomorrow, Ed? What are the people going to do? I mean, do you have any idea?
You know, I'll be honest with you. I am flat tapped out of ideas. I don't even know. But I know what they need to do. They need to just, in two words, they need to fix bayonets. So that's about all I'm going to say.
All right.
I'm going to go inside and wade into the crowd and absorb the righteous anger that's in there.
All right, Ed, thanks. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Ed in Madison. Republicans in general, but Republican legislators, have you ever seen a bunch of people that are more blatantly cowardly than Republicans? I never have. I haven't. Absolute cowards. If they don't have their porn and their Bibles and their guns, they're goddamn useless to each other, to themselves. Cockroaches. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Residents of Air.
In Mundelein, Illinois, found the 14 characteristics of fascism on Ben Burch's White Rose Society website. I'll give it to Kathy, and she will post it at MikeMalloy.com. I don't know. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I don't know if this is with the animation or not. Eric Blumrich, B-L-U-M-R-I-C-H, was the designer, the artist at this website. Kathy? What was the name of it? Bush Flash Animation. And it was real popular during the terror years of the Bush crime family. But Eric had posted something at his website years ago. It said he was getting out of that particular gig. He was going to stop. And I don't know what's become of him. His old site, is no longer in existence. But Kathy will post this some point tonight or tomorrow. And perhaps if you want to see it or listen to it, you can go to it. This hour is sponsored by Doug. By Doug. His message is, Mike won't beg you for money to support his program, but I will. Do it now. How are you going to feel if he goes off the air and you could have done something about it? And just as importantly, spread the word. Well, thanks, Doug. What he's talking about is become a podcast subscriber. You don't necessarily have to sponsor an hour. A podcast subscription is $59.60 for a year. A year. and you'll get in your mailbox every day, you know, except when we have a technical screw-up. You'll get in your mailbox, your email box, every morning, I think it's morning, the podcast from the previous night's program, commercial-free. And you can download it onto anything at this point. Christ, you can download it onto a dinner plate. But it works out to about 25 cents a program. That's why I say if you miss one, because we had a technical screw up here, it costs you a quarter. I mean, I'm not trying to be cavalier about your money. I'm just saying it's $59.60 a year to subscribe. And we are getting close to the brink. Doug's right. It's impossible for me to get all involved in trying to fundraise. I can't do it. I just can't do it. This program has been on the air in one form or another for 20-some years, and I hope it continues. So, but you know, seriously, this time it's up to the people who support it. So, whatever. Mike in Connecticut writes, Mike, I think what is going on in Wisconsin is a trap. The Republicans know that this sleazy move was illegal, but they did it to lure the Democrats back. Once back, they will have their forum to vote on this bill. What I'd like to see is all 14 Democrats resign tonight, forcing a new election. Mike from Connecticut. Well, what they did actually is not illegal. What they did was strip out of the bill the requirement, any bill in Wisconsin, apparently, and I'm just learning this too, that requires a money issue or has a money issue as part of the bill, that requires a quorum. If it does not contain a money issue, it doesn't require a quorum. I have no idea what that means or how it works. I mean, I understand the word quorum. You know what I'm saying? It just seems crazy to me. But I live in a state that's even crazier. I live in Georgia, so I don't know what the laws are, what the rules are with the Wisconsin legislature. But what they did was not illegal. It was immoral. It was filthy. It was a typical cockroach Republican action. But I don't think it was illegal. The only response to any of this has to come from the people. And I think the Republicans understand a couple of salient points. The fascists in this country understand. The Bush crime family took us into two wars. And other than a few demonstrations that involved a lot of people prior to the wars, nothing happened. The people did not rise up and say no. The Rupert Murdoch terrorist broadcast network and all the other broadcast networks went to work on us with a campaign of propaganda to get people to support the murder and illegal action that the government of George W. Bush was performing. So the American public remained quiet. They destroyed the lives back in this country of Wall Street and the banksters. They just devoured entire communities. They cheated and lied and stole to the point where the country was teetering on the brink of collapse. And it took an action by Bush and another action by Obama to stave off the collapse. In fact, to stave off the collapse for the goddamn criminals who engineered it. The Wall Street bankers, the huge financial monoliths, they were saved. America was told, the average citizen was told to piss off. And we didn't do anything. People just sat there. And prior to that, they shipped hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs out of the country. And we didn't do anything. We just sat there. So here we are. Is there any question in your mind as to why the cockroaches in the Wisconsin legislature, 17 of these pig bastards, knew they could do this and there would be no consequences? Because we don't do anything in this country anymore. We sit back and allow this to go on and on and on. Okay. Sorry. Sorry, Kathy. I'm freaking my wife out here. Deep breath. Jesus, God. I wonder what it'll take. I wonder if there's anything. Anne is in Madison. Hello, Anne.
Hi, Mike. I can report that as of last hour, people are entering the rotunda through a window. They will not be allowed to be kept out. Lee Fong of thinkprogress.org has been studying, researching, and documenting the machinations of the Koch brothers. And something that he said on the air Friday night got my attention. He said that, as we know in Madison, Koch Industries lobbying arm opened an office on Doty Street, which is less than a number nine iron shot from the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And a political deputy named Tim Phillips contacted Scott Walker immediately after the inauguration and said, you will present this bill, which is the budget repair bill. And something made me think that I know this happens in Washington, D.C. all the time, that bills are written by lobbyists and they're put forward through congressional individuals. But there's something about this that strikes me as coming really close to the word treason.
Anne, hold on.
A private corporation.
Anne, hold on just a second. I've got to do some commercials. Just hold on. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Had uncovered and documented that Tim Phillips, a political deputy of Koch Brothers' political arm, told Walker that the first thing that he had to do was to drop this budget repair bill on people, do it quickly. And it just seems to me, I'm not a lawyer, still less am I a constitutional lawyer, but it was just within hours or a few days after Walker had taken an oath to serve the interests of the people of Wisconsin. Is there any legal remedy that can be brought forward
right
here? He is an apparatchik of the Koch interests. And as a matter of fact, he doesn't travel in their circles. He's the hired help. He should get a grip on himself. He is the hired help. If you privatize everything, maybe they'll let him cut the grass or clean the toilets.
Mm.
He has an awfully inflated view of himself. But do you imagine, are there lawyers who call into this program who could say, you know, there is a constitutional issue here and we need to pursue it? I would be delighted for any help that we could get here in Madison.
I don't know. I think there would be a lot of labor attorneys or maybe state constitutional attorneys who excuse me, who will react to this. I would hope so. And I have to leave it there. Thanks. I appreciate it. Kathy, you have that live stream. All right, let's listen to a little bit of this, if we can bring it up. I don't know if we can do it. This is from inside the Capitol Rotunda in Madison. And according to reports, we're getting people are going in through the windows. Okay, listen up. We'll bring some of that up a little bit later. It's a live stream, and I will try to get the... do you have the link to that? Kathy, email the link to me, so I'll put it up in the chat room, if you would. All right, back to your calls here. Susan is in Madison, listening on the mic. Hello, Susan.
Hello. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
There will be consequences for what happened today. And the Scott Walker fascist takeover that happened today, there will be consequences. He violated due process laws, and I don't believe that this is going to stand. We need the protesters' energy here in Madison to remain peaceful, positive, and nonviolent. On April 5th, we have an election, and we can vote for an independent, nonpartisan Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Joanne Kloppenburg, who is running against an incumbent judge who is advertising himself as a compliment to the Scott Walker team. This is a crucial election, and this election has consequences. We need everybody to get out in Wisconsin and vote for Joanne Kloppenburg. And we are in the process of recalling 8 Republican senators, perhaps as early as June. The ACLU is investigating the laws, I've been told, and on a federal level, everyone in this nation can flood the White House and the U.S. Congress tomorrow and tonight with emails and calls to repeal Taft-Hartley, to repeal the Ronald Reagan tax cuts, to stop corporate welfare, to big oil, nuclear power, big ag, big pharmaceuticals, and to start putting the money back to the people and to stop spending the money on stuff that military spending that the military doesn't even want. There's all kinds of things that can happen, and Obama needs to lead the change. He needs to lead it tomorrow morning.
Well, Susan,
flood the White House with emails tonight.
Susan, listen, thank you, but Obama is not going to lead in the direction that progressives, that liberals, that real Americans, that people who respect this country and the rule of law, and the social gains we've made over a century. He will not lead. He is incapable. This has to come from the people, and I just hope with everything in me that this action tonight by these filthy cowards in the Wisconsin Senate will be the key that unlocks what has always been the fury of the American people when they've had enough. Thanks, Susan. We'll be back in a minute. 5 before the hour. All right, here's what we're going to do. The rest of this half hour, and by the way, this hour is sponsored by Doug, who writes, Mike won't beg you, everybody, for money to support the program, but I will. Do it now. How are you going to feel if he goes off the air? And you could have done something about it. And just as importantly, spread the word. That's from Doug. Doug, thanks for the sponsorship. Yeah, kick ass, Doug, you bet. We're going to cover this for the rest of this half hour. And then there's a topic coming up third hour that I think deserves a hearing. It's more Republican garbage, but on a national level. And we will get, oh, believe me, we will be on this like white on rice tomorrow night. A couple of emails, then back to your calls. Have you still got the video feed or the audio feed from, let's bring that up again, from the rotunda of the Capitol in Wisconsin, in Madison? Oh, this is outside now. This is not inside. Okay. Did you email me that live stream link? All right, I'll put that up. All right, we'll come back to that momentarily. Okay, here it is. You can get this yourself, livestream.com, livestream.com/theuptake, the uptake, livestream.com. The uptake that will give you a live stream from the demonstrations that have developed now because of this push toward fascism that is so evident in Madison, Wisconsin. A couple of emails here quickly from Anil. Mike, the Capitol Police have just requested backup from the Madison Police. Our chief, Noble Ray, has told them, no, you're on your own. You're kidding me. State troopers are having to escort the Republican lawbreakers from the Capitol. So far, damage is light with a broken window at one of the entrances. Keep you posted, Neil. From Prairie 2... regarding Wisconsin, Republican legislative leaders have said they are considering changing the law to make recalls impossible. Oh, Jesus, in Wisconsin. Bruce goes on, the total number of people estimated to have participated in protests at some location in the state of Wisconsin has now exceeded 800,000. About 2 million people voted in the last election in a state with relatively high turnouts, as the total population is only 5.5 million. Recall petitions for the three Republicans targeted already exceed 30% of the number needed in less than a week. Killing Badger Care, the state-run health insurance program, which apparently is next on Walker's list, will affect 400,000 people in the state alone. How much longer? What's it going to take, people? What's it going to take? What is it going to take? Mary is in early Iowa. Hello, Mary.
Hello, Mike. I hope you're not in the same condition I'm in. I wish I were in Madison. Anyway, I was going to say that I knew from the first what Barack Obama was. I didn't want to vote for him or Hillary Clinton. But anyway, I went to our, well, my county no longer has a Democratic committee, but I went to the closest one last Saturday, and I said what Barack Obama was, and I had written an editorial in the paper in that county. So I was told that I was not to denigrate our president. I said from the very beginning I knew what he was, whom he chose for the banks and the army and that's they have no spirit. They have no spirit, and they're making little plans for this and for that, and for, you know, to hold them around there. Anyway, I hope to get our spirit, and I just can't imagine us going on like this. And you know what? When Libya, when Muammar Gaddafi turned his troops and planes on the people, I thought, would Barack Obama do that to us? And I thought, I think he would. I really did. But I'm not afraid. We have to do something.
Something has to be done. And I just hope, Mary, that this is the the trigger. That will wake people up as to how important this is and how much is at stake here. Thanks, Mary. I got to move on. I appreciate you checking in. Steve is in Austin, Texas. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Mike. How's it going? Sorry about that. two quick things. I don't remember the year, but when Columbia University in New York was occupied, in resistance to Vietnam criminal activities, I heard just.
I think the kid's name. He was a kid at the time. Mark Rudd.
Mark Rudd. Yeah.
Yeah.
With two U's. Yeah. It was very interesting because the most recent reports I heard was. The people in Madison were locked out of the Capitol, except now they're crawling through windows to occupy the place. Interesting.
You know, I'm getting a couple of reports that it was the police that allowed the protesters in. I'm also getting a report that says the cops in Madison are now asking the people to leave the Capitol building. I don't know. I have a feeling that the private contractor cops are probably suiting up and on their way. the descendants of Blackwater, which would be XE. I just have this feeling, and I'll tell you what, if that happens, then the gloves should come off. You know, it's one thing. There are laws about the type of assembly that is protected by the Constitution, but there are no laws that I'm aware of that say if thugs show up, private cops, private contractors, whether they're Wacken Hut or Blackwater or whoever they are, if private thugs show up and try to break up an assembly of people, then there is no rules. And I would expect that the people being bullied by the thugs would pound their goddamn lights out with whatever was handy to crack them across the top of the head. Like I say, it's one thing to respect law enforcement. It's something when necessary. It's something else again to tell law enforcement contractors to kiss your ass and to resist. And I'm sure you agree with me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I bring one word, Pinkertons.
Yeah, Pinkertons. That's another.
There you go.
They've got a history of trying to destroy the labor movement in this country. Isn't that the group that Henry Ford hired?
Yes, all those folks back in the way in the early 20th century.
Bastards.
Oh, yeah. Well, in fact, it wasn't Pinkertons, but if you remember the Butch Cassidy Sundance Kid movie with the train robbery.
That's right. Those were Pinkertons.
Those were Pinkertons, too. Yes.
We've had fascists around us for a long time, haven't we, Steve?
Right. They were mercenaries.
That's true. All right, yeah. Steve. Thanks, man. I got to move on. Appreciate you checking in. Take care. Yeah, it's, you know, anybody who understands the United States of America understands that fascism was only a fingernail deep underneath our collective skin. It's always been there. There have been several efforts to move us away from representative democracy and into fascism. Several moves over the past 150 years, very serious moves. There was an organized... it didn't get off the ground because, again, of Smedley Butler, but there was an organized attempt to overthrow and remove from office FDR. And it was run by the Corpus Pig Bastards, and nothing happened to them. They were allowed to continue. The capitalists who were serious about overthrowing FDR, I don't know if they were planning to assassinate him or just literally remove him from office and have the military take over, but they went to the wrong guy. They went to General Smedley Butler with their plan. And Butler punked them all and just said, are you crazy? Are you out of your minds? Wasn't it Smedley Butler? I think it was. Or have I got my history wrong? It doesn't matter, does it? Nick is in Williamson, New Jersey. Hello, Nick.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? It is an honor to speak with you.
My pleasure. Hey,
I am a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm a union member, and I was at the protest in Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, and I am absolutely outraged at what's going on tonight in Madison.
Yeah. Hey, I've got to take a break. Hold on just a second, Nick. We'll come right back. Oh, we can't. The music's not working. Oh, a typical Malloy program F up. Okay. We have to. There's some. We'll be right back. Before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Doug. Thank you, Doug. He's got a message. Mike won't beg you, everybody, for money to support this program, but I will. Do it now. How are you going to feel if he goes off the air and you could have done something about it? And just as importantly, spread the word. Thank you, Doug. Thank you very much. All you have to do is go to MikeMalloy.com and you'll see a place where you can subscribe to podcasts. Cost you $59 a year, or $7.95 a month, but obviously the $59 a year is the better deal. And again, the third hour of the program tonight, there is something else that I just absolutely want to bring up, and we'll be doing that the third hour. We will pick this topic up again, though, tomorrow. Kathy, what happens if let's supposing at 1 o'clock this morning, I wanted to go online. Can I do that? Not obviously. I can't go over the air. I can't go Sirius or XM. But if I come in here to the studio, Ustream? Oh, I could just turn on Ustream. That's all I'd have to do. Oh. No, I understand that. We can't get up on the satellite at 3 o'clock in the morning, but if something weird does happen and you're up and I'm up, I will come into the studio here and at least go on Ustream. That's right, we don't need anybody anymore, do we? Oh my goodness, and we can still take calls too. Yeah, that would just be Ustream or Internet Stream. Just Ustream. Yeah. Well, that's kind of interesting. And I could, if I felt like using bad language, I could do that, couldn't I? That would certainly be fun. No, I'm just kidding about the bad language. John is in Arcadia, California. Hello, John.
Hello, Mike. First-time caller. I loved what I'm hearing here, but I'm a little confused. When I listen to the news in Egypt and all over the Mideast and all other places right now, they're fighting for their freedom.
Right.
They're not going after the local mayor or the chief or something. They're going after the people behind it. What
right.
I can't understand, why there isn't a network out there of tweeters, Ustreamers and stuff that have a list of these 400 people. And why aren't they at their places? Why don't we have constant 24-7 footage of these people, what they're doing, where they are.
Yeah, that's a good question. And let me answer it, John, because this was touched on, I think, Monday night. We, as a people, with a couple of noted exceptions in our history, the war of against the English, Britain, and the Civil War, we are noted for our reluctance to do what the French do, or to do what the Egyptians do, or to do what people in so many different countries do, and that is to take to the streets and to strike and to commit acts of civil disobedience up to and sometimes including destruction of property. And sometimes in these other countries where the people have had enough, there's a loss of life, either minimal or maximal. But there's a big reluctance on the part of Americans to do this. Plus the fact that we have a media whose sole function is to make us forget, not just forget something a year ago, but to forget what happened yesterday, to forget what happened this morning. That is the function of this media. That's what they mean by 24-hour news cycle. That's what these filthy goddamn commercials that are on television all the time talking to you about your wrinkles and your bad breath and you need to, you have erectile dysfunction. I mean, what kind of garbage is this? But the American people, with that combination of a reluctance to say no, hell no, about the only people in this country who ever really did that have been students and union members. When you stop and think about it, now, granted, once the student movement took hold, once the outrage about Vietnam finally embedded itself in the collective consciousness in this country, then everybody, women, men, adults, old people, office workers, union workers, whatever, took to the streets and were instrumental to a degree in stopping the insanity that was Vietnam. But since that time, people have gotten, I don't know, lazy. They've gotten, every goddamn month there's a new electronic toy that goes ding, 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 that one of these corporate monsters like Steve Jobs dangles in front of everybody, and everybody runs and stands in line to spend $300 to buy a goddamn trinket! Excuse me, I'm sorry, I don't mean to yell, John. But this is what happens. This is what has happened. So the American people not only have been narcotized or narcotized, but they've also lost their goddamn souls, their resistance, the ability to say, no, this is enough. And I'm not talking about these cockroach teabaggers either. I'm talking about people who are righteously saying no. There's not a teabagger out there that righteously says no. All right, listen, we've got a break coming here. And when we come back, I've got to move on to this other topic or I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight. We will pick up the Madison story, and I hope it is an ongoing story. I hope it is a story that goes and goes and goes until the power in this country realizes that we are here to kick ass and take names. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Free the Molloy program this hour is sponsored by Anonymous. The message, sending Sam Evans in Afghanistan our best. Sam, we, the Mike Molloy program listeners, thank you for not being blinded by the propaganda of the war machine. Be well, be safe, as you listen to truth, for many who care, Anonymous. This is in regard to an email I read, I think, last week, or it may have been Monday. A guy who is deployed for 6 months to Afghanistan and listens to podcasts of the program, this program, and thanked us for doing what we do. So in response, Anonymous sends Sam a dedication this hour in his name. Sam Evans in Afghanistan, we send you our best. We thank you for not being blinded by the propaganda of the war machine. Be well, be safe as you listen to truth for many who care. Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. Like I mentioned last hour or first hour tonight, the anti-science, anti-intellectual, anti-thinking aspect of current conservatism and republicanism is just astonishing. I don't understand it. It's like a throwback to 400, 500, 600 years ago when science and the nascent idea of technology, you know, Da Vinci and all that, was seen as a threat to the established rulers. Now, the established rulers, of course, were religious. I'm talking mostly here about white Europeans. The established rulers were the church, were members of the church, which would be the Catholic Church, the Church of Rome. And science and technology was seen as of the devil. It was seen as threats to the established order. The idea of a heliocentric solar system was no, outrageous, could not be, because, you know, Genesis and everything, right? The idea that any sort of science or technology could exist outside the realm and control of the church, if that's not a contradiction in terms, was seen as an impossibility. Consequently, the persecution, execution of so many thinkers, scientists, people with ideas that were based in rational thought and not in the wild, crazed superstitions of the Roman Church. So, but that was then, centuries ago, right? Here we are now, and guess what? It's back. It's back. The swine who comprise members of the House and the Senate, who are Republicans, and a few Democrats, too, I'm ashamed to add. I don't know why I'm ashamed. I'm not a Democrat anymore. But the swine, who 99% of whom are Republicans in our legislative branch of government, the swine who are there simply because one of two institutions put them there. Capitalism, which is an institution close to committing suicide. And the other institution is the church, whether it's Protestant or Catholic, but it is Christian. And that institution is about to commit suicide. So you have two institutions on a death track. The Christian church, because of the idiocy and moronic aspects of its teaching, A, B, and the fact that a huge segment of it can't seem to keep its hands off the genitals of little boys. And the other one, capitalism, which has finally reached an endpoint. There's no place else to go. It has so utterly destroyed countries, populations, the environment, the ecosphere, everything it has touched, it has destroyed. So, two dying enterprises, and that's what they both were, enterprises. They had nothing to do with the betterment of humankind, either one of them, although they both claimed the betterment of human, you know, the church, believe this way and your everlasting soul will not be eaten by snakes, scorpions, and spiders in a lake of fire. And capitalism said, well, believe this way too, and you know, not only will you be rewarded in the afterlife, but you'll make lots of money and be real rich. Hog snot. Both of them. Fantasies. The only people who really made out were the top, you know, the top 0.1%. The papacy, the capitalists at the very top, the Protestant hustlers, these filthy televangelists like Hagee and the rest of these swine, they're the ones who made out. And that's what it's all about. That's the name of the game. I think most people deep down understand that when you're dead, you're dead. All this horse crap about, oh, well, afterlife, you're going to go to heaven. I think even a bloated piece of human waste like Pastor Hagee understands that the end is the end. So why not live good while you're here, right? Yahoo! But I digress. There was a hearing the other day, a House hearing yesterday on a bill that the Republicans have introduced that will strip the Environmental Protection Agency of its power to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. Now think about that for a second. Okay, that's long enough. Democrats on the Energy and Commerce Committee subcommittee, a subcommittee on that committee, the subcommittee is on energy and power. The Democrats demanded the hearing in hope of slowing the progress of this bill. It's known as the Energy Tax Prevention Act of 2011. Energy Tax Prevention Act of 2011. It has to do with the ability of the human race to goddamn breathe. But the filthy Republicans there, by the grace of the corporations and the church who put them there, label this the Energy Tax Prevention Act of 2011. You see how this works? You see how these pigs operate. And this attempt to gut the EPA, strip the EPA of its power to regulate greenhouse gas, enjoys the near unanimous support of the Republican House majority. That's why I said 99% of these swine are they have no concept. They hate their children or their grandchildren. They must. Because they are doing things that will guarantee that their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren will die screaming for oxygen, clutching at their own throats. Well, these rat bastards are rotting in the grave, of course, but this is what they're setting up. Republicans, you see, are demonic. They truly are. I mean, this is not over-the-top rhetoric. What do you call people? What do you call people who set in motion plans and activities and events that not that far down the road guarantees that their own offspring will die gasping for breath with their eyes bulging out and their veins popping because they can't get enough oxygen? What do you call that? I call it demonic. So the attempts by the Democrats to stymie this stripping of the EPA's power seem... The attempts seem to have failed. They failed. We are back at a time when Galileo was told, you either change this science nonsense you've presented to the world, or we will cut your goddamn head off. We are the church. We have the power. Change what you've discovered. Recant. Take it back. Well, Galileo, being somebody who probably wanted to live for some reason, decided to go ahead and take it back for a while. We'll be right back.
nightly ammunition.
Well, we kind of know what Kathy was trying to say there. Nightly ammunition against the flying monkey right, you know, or something like that. 21 past the hour, our wonderful equipment in this falling apart studio. But that's the way it goes with progressive radio. Anyway, attempt by the Democrats to stop the Republicans from stripping from the Environmental Protection Agency its power to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. And, of course, that power was based on science provided over how long has the greenhouse gas emissions problem that is affecting this planet, how long has it been under study? 3 decades? 4? 5? Again, the bill that we're talking about here would overturn the EPA's finding that carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases pose a threat to public health and the environment. And the measure would also bar the agency, the EPA, from writing any regulations to control them, right? The bill says, you know, the EPA is, I'm misquoting here, but the bill indicates that the EPA's science is wrong. It's wrong because the Christians and the capitalists say it's wrong. And the Christians and the capitalists control what goes on in this country now, period. The lawmaking, the law writing, the respect toward science, logic, all of that has been dumbed down, if not stopped altogether, by the right wing. Not the law writing. The law writing is going on. But any acknowledgement of science, rational thought, logic, common sense, oh, I'll forget that one. There's no such thing. All of that has been gutted, washed down the toilet by the Republicans. They don't like that. They don't like science. It's too scientific, you know? It's not in the Bible. It's not in the corporate capitalist handbook. It comes out of the pointy heads of some of these, I don't know, what are they called? College professor, physicists. Yeah, that's the ticket. Physicists or environmentalists. What the hell's that? Or geologists or biochemists. What do they know? The bill sponsors the bill to gut the EPA's power. They say that the climate science behind the findings is dubious. But their economic theories and their life after death theories apparently are not. But the science is dubious. Rushing down some imaginary hole towards the bright light when your heart and brain stops, that's not dubious, no. And at the end of this tunnel, there stands, well, I'll be damned, it's St. Peter. Woo-hoo! That's not dubious. Capitalism, with its absolute requirement of eternally, infinitely ever-expanding markets and ever-cheaper wage slaves, that's not dubious. But the science that says, look, if we keep dumping crap into the atmosphere, carbon dioxide, see, carbon dioxide is antithetical to human life. If we keep doing this, we're all going to die. That is dubious. Go figure. Go figure. A talking snake that condemned women for all eternity. That's not dubious. Science is. Galileo was dubious, wasn't he? Democrats at this hearing rounded up 5 eminent academic climatologists, according to the New York Times, who defended the scientific consensus that the planet is warming and that human activities like the burning of fossil fuels are largely responsible. Their professors called for swift and concerted action to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide. But, being scientists, you see, they did not endorse any political apparatus or policy for doing this. They're not politicians. They are scientists. Here are the facts. You decide what to do with them. Same thing Galileo said. Here are the facts. The sun is the center of the solar system. You deal with it however you want to. And of course, the church, oh no, recant. This is exactly what the Republicans are saying to the scientists. Recant! Or we'll cut off your funding. Look what we did to NPR. Ha, 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 ha. The Republicans countered all of this testimony with two scientific witnesses. You notice that the phrase there, scientific witnesses. Hell, I could be a scientific witness. I don't have a PhD. I don't have an MS. I don't even have a BS. The Republicans have all the BS. Oh, that's a joke there. Oh, my God. All right, stick around. We got to take a break here. We come back and we'll finish this up. This is astonishing. Astonishing beyond my ability to handle it.
Maybe some suggestions, and I bet they're gonna ask me about man's insanity. You got a real nice planet here, but you better watch your atmosphere. And you better clean your water up, or have none for your cup.
Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
25 before the hour, we're talking about the attempts by the brain-dead Republicans, the corporate and religious droids who have been loosed on this country and their attempts to destroy science and make sure we all die gasping for oxygen. That's kind of appropriate. Anyway, hearing yesterday at the Subcommittee on Energy and Power, Subcommittee of the Energy and Commerce Committee, because the Energy and Commerce Committee are introducing legislation, the Republicans, the committee is introducing legislation that would destroy the EPA's ability to regulate greenhouse gases. Okay, you up to speed? All right, let me continue. God, shut up, please. After all the witnesses that the Democrats presented, the Republicans countered with two scientific witnesses who said that while there was strong evidence of a rise in global surface temperatures, the reasons were murky. Dubious. Murky. You like these words? The reasons were murky. And any response could have adverse unintended effects. Adverse? Stopping the continued injecting of a gas that humans can't breathe. It's the gas we expel when we exhale. Dumping more of that into the atmosphere might have adverse unintended effects. Stopping the dumping might have adverse. Like what? Like what, Mr. Scientist? Like what? And the reasons for the rise in global temperatures and horrendous weather and flooding and glaciers melting and ice caps disappearing. The reasons for it, you see, are murky. Now, I grant you, there's a little wavering here. The Catholic Church told Galileo there was no such, they didn't use the word murky. They just said recant or we'll cut your goddamn head off. And put it on a pike and parade it around your hometown. You want that, boy? Well, Galileo immediately said, "No, I don't think so. You know, I've got sheep to tend." So he just recanted. These people don't say they're going to lop off the heads of the scientists who have been trying for three decades to warn the human race. No, they don't say we're going to lop off your head. They just say, your evidence is kind of murky and your findings are dubious. Murky and dubious. That'll do. Murky, dubious. While there is strong evidence of a rise in surface temperatures, the reasons are murky, and any response could have adverse, unintended effects. Now, there's a good guy in this. He's a Democrat. Surprise! Of Washington. His name is Jay Inslee, Representative Jay Inslee. He sits on this committee. He's one of Congress's most ardent advocates of strong action to combat global warming. He is known by his friends, close friends, as someone who likes to tilt at windmills. Mr. Inslee brought to the hearing a 2-foot-high stack of books and scientific reports, which he placed on his desk, so that people could see that there was pounds of scientific evidence about the adverse effects of global warming itself, not the possible adverse effects of stopping global warming. Jesus, these Republicans, I mean, they just completely invert it, right? Just like the Roman Church all those centuries ago. Mr. Galileo, you see, your theory upends everything that we know to be true. Your theory destroys Genesis. And if Genesis is destroyed, the Bible is destroyed. And Mr. Galileo, if the Bible is destroyed, you have effectively ended religious thought. Change, recant, do away with your half-assed anti-God theory now. Same thing here. Same thing here. Inslee used his time to question the scientists, largely to criticize Republicans. I mean, of course, what difference does it make? Inslee could sit there and ask the most erudite questions. The scientists could respond using scientific language that people like moi and tu could understand, but no. That wouldn't mean anything, because the Republicans are still going to vote to gut the EPA. So Inslee did the only thing he could do. Get it into the record. Get it into the record. The criticism of Republicans. He said they're suffering from what he called, quote, an allergy to science and scientists, end quote. That's great, Jay. I love that. An allergy. Yeah. An allergy. Inslee said he was embarrassed that a country. Now, I realize this is kind of a cliche, but what the hell, it's still workable. A country that sent a man to the moon and mapped the human genome could be on the verge of enacting a law that overturns a scientific finding because it pisses off and doesn't sit well with the masters of these Republican swine who now control the House. That would be the religious dogmatists and corporate America. The religious freaks and the capitalist freaks do not want this science to be applied, much less disseminated amongst the general population. What happens if it goes out and people start to believe it? Oh, my God. See, if people really, truly, honestly, really, absolutely believe this stuff, if the majority of Americans, let's say all Americans, let's say everybody in this country, overnight, all of a sudden, we're smart enough to understand what's going on. No. We're smart enough to have an open mind to take in the science, to sit down at home with their computers and their teenage sons and daughters and go over the figures and say, well, I'll be goddamn right. It's true. It's true. What do you think would happen? Well, I have a pretty good idea. There would be millions of people marching on the capitalist organizations that are destroying our home, Earth, the little blue dot. We would drag these people into the street. We would probably not hang them from the nearest lamppost. We would probably try to explain to them, look, you know, you're human, we're human. Do you realize what you're doing? But we would level the machinery, the buildings, from which all this poison was being pumped into the atmosphere. That's what we would do if we were a smart tribe, if we were a species that understood. I mean, you see, the humans gave themselves a way out a long time ago. Well, I can just go ahead and corrupt the whole goddamn planet, because when I die, and I hope it'll be peaceful in my sleep, I get to go to heaven. Yeah, well, I do. You don't. You're a Jew. You can't go. You're a Hindu. You can't go. You're a Muslim. You damn sure can't go. We're not going to allow any terrorists up in heaven. Oh, no. So that's the out. To have dominion over the earth, according to Christians, means to utterly and absolutely destroy it, strip it, reduce it, turn it into a cinder. Ah. So Inslee used his time to point out the idiocy of the Republicans, who suffer from what he calls an allergy to science and scientists. And then Inslee said, quote, "If Copernicus, Galileo, Newton, and Einstein were testifying today before this committee, the Republicans would not accept their views until all the Arctic ice has melted and hell has frozen over, whichever comes first." End quote. And you know what, Mr. Inslee, Representative Inslee, even then, these filthy sons of bitches would still not believe you, these Republicans, these conservatives. You know what they would do then? They would say, well, the science is still wrong. These scientists are still, I don't know, some kind of anti-American communists of some sort. But God decided. God decided that carbon dioxide in the atmosphere was going to kill us all. It's not the scientists. Oh, no. Uh-uh. That's what they would do. You know, every single one of these filthy, swinish Republicans sitting there. Oh, the explanation of their very existence to those four scientists, Newton, Einstein, Galileo, and Copernicus. And yet there they sit, slaves of their putrid religion and their filthy economic system, deciding to gut the power of the Environmental Protection Agency, as weak as that power is, to guarantee the viability of life on Earth for a little bit longer. I call them demons. What do you call them?
Because liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Jay Inslee conducting some of the questioning at this hearing to decide whether or not to pass the Energy Tax Prevention Act of 2011 that denies science. Jay Inslee, a Democrat, Washington, pointed out that if Copernicus, Galileo, Newton, and Einstein were testifying today, the Republicans would not accept their views. And that is so true. Inslee then cited the reality, and this is a stupefying truth. Much of the skepticism about global warming among these swine who are Republicans in Congress, who now have the power in the House, much of the skepticism has been fed by a campaign of lies, deceit, disinformation, misinformation from what Inslee would refer to as energy interests, what I call murderers. I'm talking about people like Limbaugh, who has spent the past 25 years, his whole goddamn filthy career has been centered around the idea that global warming is a liberal hoax. Anything environmental that is about the protection of the nest this slob son of a bitch happens to reside in, along with the rest of us, is a hoax. Any science, any truth doesn't exist. So pigs like Limbaugh and all the piglets that come behind him trying to imitate this slothful bastard have all picked up on the same story. All the energy interests, all the members of Congress who have been bought and paid for, whose careers have been developed and created by the fossil fuel industry in some regard, all of them have worked in concert to not just confuse the American public, but to lie. We are not the smartest species on Earth, are we? Pick a thousand, any thousand species, starting with moss, and we're probably down, 912th? We are the only species that I'm aware of that, with absolute knowledge aforethought, have decided to destroy our own home. That's what we've decided to do. We have made a conscious decision. Well, you know, we're going to destroy everything because we've always got heaven. And the rapture's coming anyway. And, you know, as long as you're going to die, you might as well have a lot of fun and make as much money and, you know, stomp all over these so-called third worlders. Who gives a goddamn about all these brown people? It's incredible. A campaign of lies, half-truths, untruths, disinformation, misinformation. You want another example? Inslee compared the disinformation of global warming to the tobacco industry's efforts to discredit the finding that smoking causes cancer. There was a 70-year-long campaign based on science, to prove that cigarette smoke not only would kill you, but would kill you in the most horrific, painful way. Part of the horror and the pain would be knowing, as whatever organ was being eaten alive by cancer, and you were contemplating, as your last thoughts, a very simple reality. You did it to yourself. That's part of the horror of tobacco-induced cancer. You're going to die. There's no question. I mean, once the cancer has started to eat your lungs or your pancreas or your liver or any of your organs, you are going to die. So there will be a certain amount of time before the lights go out where you get to think about the fact that you did it to yourself, not unlike global climate change. But as Jay Inslee points out, the tobacco industry's efforts to discredit science, medical science, biology, chemistry. And oh, goddamn, were they successful, weren't they? Jigger the nicotine content a little bit this way. Put out an advertising campaign that says, oh, you cannot be cool. You cannot be suave and debonair unless you are sucking a death stick. Same thing here. Exactly. Remember when the tobacco moguls sat in front of Congress and raised their hands and were asked if they agreed that nicotine was addictive? No, it's not addictive. No, of course not. No, it's not addictive. The scientists were given an opportunity to talk. They tried. One of the scientists pointed out, crops had certain temperature thresholds above which yields dropped sharply. For corn, for example, that temperature is 84 degrees, and a single day of 104 degrees causes a 7% drop in yield. The Republicans just sat there with spittle dribbling down their chins, their eyes glazed over, and ignored it. I do not understand this kind of treachery. I really don't. I can't get my mind around it. Can't understand what its purpose is. Can't understand why the 95% of us in this country who may not want to see the planet destroyed, why we don't march as a group and take apart brick by brick the buildings that are killing us. Oh, well, you have a nice evening. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.